Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
All right, let's hold up our Bible. Let's get into it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. Here's my favorite part. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord another big hand clap. Well, I'm blessed. I get to continue Dad's message on faith for your future. Faith for your future. And I just want to start off today, let you know that today I just want to encourage you and let you know, some of you, I think you struggle with this. I know I've struggled with it at times. And I think, you know, when you think about that title there, Faith for Your Future, a lot of you feel like you have no future. You don't have a vision for God. The things aren't going to be better. Things are going to get worse. And I just want to encourage you today that we're going to change that perspective. God has a mighty, awesome plan for you. Did you know that? Your best days are not behind you. Your best days are in front of you. You know, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. It doesn't matter what your education is. It doesn't matter what side of town you were born on. But God wants to use you to do something great. And it's amazing, isn't it? All the different types of excuses that the enemy, tries to use on us to just get us to shrink back and not go forward. You know, a lot of us, you know, we say, man, God, I'm just too young. I'm just too young. I can't do something like that. But in the Bible, you know, I remember that story. There's a King Joash. He was 8 years old, and God used Joash to turn the entire nation of Israel around. He was 8 years old. And then there's some of us, you know, we think, oh, my best days are behind me. You know, I'm too old. Daniel, I'm a senior citizen. Daniel, my 40s, my 50s. I heard somebody in their 30s yesterday say they were too old that God couldn't use. It's like, okay. I mean, did you guys know that Joshua didn't start his conquest of Israel until he was 80 years old? He didn't start till he was 80 years old. Moses and Aaron, they didn't start till they were 84. I heard that God only recognizes two ages, dead or alive, right? And as long as you're still here, God isn't finished with you yet. There's still something great for you to do, amen? I mean, how many believe that? It's not over for you. Come on, how many believe that? God has something great for you to do, and it's important that you recognize that vision and that you see it clearly. Today, the big idea is real simple. If you're taking notes, write this down. You can't fulfill the vision that God has for your life unless you see it clearly through the eyes of faith. You cannot fulfill the vision that God has for your life unless you see it through the eyes of faith. Proverbs 29, verse 18, we know that verse. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish. When you and I don't have a vision for our lives, when we just say, oh, God's got nothing great for me, I'm just going to sit back, I'm going to play video games, I'm just going to go to my 9-to-5, I'm just a normal person, I'm not one of those special people. When we say that, three different things can creep into our lives. Number one is doubt. Everyone say doubt. James 1, verse 8, in the King James Version says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Did you know that when you and I don't have a vision, we drift through life? We miss opportunity. We actually just kind of coast. We let life happen to us. When you and I don't have a vision, we don't direct our time. Our time directs us. We have no priorities. We run from fire to fire. We run from one thing to another, not really knowing where we belong. But when you and I have a vision, guess what? It makes our schedule for us. How many know what I'm talking about? When you have a vision from God, how many know it creates your habits for you? You don't do the things that you used to. When you have a clear vision of God's purpose for your life, guess what? It directs you away from certain people and directs you towards others. It keeps you focused. It keeps you motivated. It keeps you disciplined. In Acts 26, verse 19, in the Message translation, Paul, he's talking to King Agrippa, and he's given his testimony. I love this verse. It says, "What could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that that God had given me. It directs my life. It controls my life. It fires me up. It motivates me." I love this illustration. You know, I'm 45 years old. Do I have any other 45-year-olds in the house? All right. When I grew up, I got to see play live on TV, and it was NBA on NBC back then. That was all. We didn't have all these other channels. But we used to watch the NBA on NBC. You know, it had that great, do you guys remember that theme song? Does anybody remember that? But I got to see Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan. How many got to see Michael play live, right? Okay. Mike, you don't understand. I try to explain this to my kids. Michael, there's nothing, he is the GOAT. Can I get an amen? Is there any? Come on. Like, I'm a huge Laker fan, a Kobe fan. I met a Pacers fan. He's decked out in Pacers gear today. Waved to everybody. Yeah, I like the hat. But I'm a big Lakers fan, and Kobe's the man. But even I know Jordan is the greatest of all time. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I remember as a kid, it was like a superhero watching this guy. It was unreal, 6'2", and the things he would do. But if any of you know the story of his career, when he first got into the league, he was great. The team was great, but they couldn't get past this certain team in the playoffs. It was called the Detroit Pistons. Wow, somebody just raised their hands back there. Amen. There's a spirit on the Pistons. And they were called the Bad Boys. And, man, they were tough. They were mean dudes. I don't know if you remember that team. It was Dennis Rodman. It was Rick Mahorn. It was Bill Laimbeer, Isaiah Thomas, and Joe Dumars. I cannot believe I remember all those guys. They were mean. They were ugly, right? They would knock you down. Man, when they block you out, they'd try to take your head off. It was a different NBA back then in the 80s. And Jordan, he could never get past him. But he had a vision. I'm going to win an NBA championship, right? That was his vision. And he said that in 1988, game 5, they lost to the Pistons. The Bulls got knocked out by the Pistons. But he said that something happened that day. His vision of the future, his vision of winning the championship became even clearer, right? And he knew that in order to see this vision come to pass, he was going to have to beat the Pistons. And the only way he could beat the Pistons was if he upped his discipline. If he disciplined himself even more. He said, I was full of skill, but I didn't have the discipline to beat the Pistons. So what was happening? His vision, his big, clear vision was directing his life. There was no more doubt. He knew what he had to do. It was that day he decided he was going to show up early for practice and shoot 1,000 shots every practice. That day, he went out and got a brand new trainer that wasn't on the Bulls staff, a trainer that would help him get strong enough and tough enough to beat the Pistons. When a person doesn't have vision, they have doubt, they have uncertainty. But when you have a vision from God, there is no doubt. You know exactly where you're going. You have direction, and guess what? You're going to see it through. The number two thing that happens to a person who has no vision is discord. Everyone say discord. Oh, that was weak. Say discord. Did you know that people, they unify around a common purpose and a vision? Without a vision, people split up. They go different ways. But I find out that when you and I, we don't have a vision, we have no real direction, we're not following what God told us to do, guess what? We attract the wrong people into our life, and we repel the right ones. We attract strife. We attract confusion. We get distracted all by this stuff because we don't have a clear vision. We don't know where we're going. I think it's fascinating. People with a big vision, the vision chooses their friends for them. Your vision says you can hang out with them. You can't hang out with these people just playing video games all day. You can't hang out with these people that are messing around in school, not doing what they're supposed to. When I was little, there was a kid in school that I was not supposed to be hanging out with. His name was Tony, and I changed his name so you wouldn't know who it was. Everyone say Tony. And Tony, he was a troublemaker, but he was a tough guy, and I thought he was cool. And man, he was always getting into trouble. He was cussing. He was smoking. His dad was a biker, a mechanic. And I was like, man, this guy's tough. I like hanging out. But guess what? The more that I hung out with him, I started to become like him, right? So one day I'm home and Dad says, "Damn, who you hanging out with?" Nobody, same friends at school, you know. "Who you hanging out with?" Steven's like, "Dad, it's this kid named Tony. He's trouble, Dad. He's a mess." I was like, "Thanks, man. Wow." He broke the code. Dad say, hey, I know that kid and I know his family and I know where you're going to end up. If you hang out with this kid, you're not doing it anymore. I was like, what? You see, Dad's vision for my life was choosing my friends. It was choosing my associations, right? Right? And so, needless to say, I wasn't allowed to I tried hanging out one more time, and I got the worst beating that I ever got. It was on spanking. Can we edit that? I don't know. Sorry, Dad. All right. But here's the thing. Your vision chooses the company you keep. Your vision qualifies the people that you're going to invest your time with. Once you understand your vision, it's going to work like a magnet. It's going to attract the right people, and it should be repelling the wrong people. Does that make sense? You kind of have, you know, this moment of clarity when you know what God wants for you to do in your life, and you look around one day at your friends, and you're just like, what? I'm in the wrong group right here. Does that make sense? You know, I think about Mom and Dad and Church on the Rock. You know, this place was started. They had no resources, no denominational support, no insurance, no facility. All they had was a group of people and a vision. A vision. But you know what God did? God brought the right people in. God kept the wrong people away. He brought the right resources in. And he kept the things away that would harm the vision away. So number two, if you don't have a vision, it brings discord. Number three, if you don't have a vision, it brings disaster. Everyone say disaster. Have you ever noticed there's just certain people that they just go from one crisis to another? They get hit, you know, from all sides. It seems like they're always getting off track. They don't have a vision. They don't have a purpose. They're always just kind of getting into stuff. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about somebody that just could never seem to find their place. And they said, you know, it's just wild how he doesn't know what his vision is, and he just continues to get into trouble. Get in trouble here. He's got trouble with this. Got trouble with the bank. Got trouble with the police. Got this and that. And it's all because he does not have a clear vision of what God wants him to do for his life. People without a vision, write this down, are slaves to their reality. People without vision are slaves to their reality. Right? Wherever circumstance blows their way, it's going to blow them off track. Man, you know, I don't have a vision, so this, man, things are going good one day, but man, first thing that just goes off, different from I expected, man, it's just destroyed my world because, why? I don't have a vision. I'm a slave to my reality. Whichever way the wind blows is the way I'm going to blow, right? 1 Timothy 1, verse 19, in God's Word translation says, "Some have refused to let their faith guide their conscience, and their faith was destroyed like a wrecked ship." So having a vision, it requires faith, it requires prayer, right? It requires thinking. You can't make this vision up for your life, right? You must find God's vision for your life, and that comes by seeing clearly. And I love Dad's title. It says, "Faith for your future." Faith for your future. If you don't see things clearly, correctly, if you don't have faith and expectation in your future, right, you're going to get off track. So today I'd like to do a little bit of expository teaching. Does anybody know what that is? It's when you go verse by verse in the Bible, and we look at a story, and we kind of bring out little nuggets and truths. Does that sound okay? Okay, so the story we're going to go to in the Bible is about God's people that are coming out of the land of Egypt, right? Do you guys remember this? Moses and the plagues. Remember this? He parts the Red Sea. Ever remember this from Sunday school? Yes? Say amen if you remember this. Yes. And basically, you know, what happens is they go into a wilderness time, right? They're walking around, and they're on their way to the promised land. God has said, "I've promised this land. I've given it to you. I've given you a vision. I've showed you exactly what's yours." And they have a choice now. They're gonna on how they're gonna respond, right? Okay. So here we go. We're gonna go to Numbers chapter 13, and we're gonna read 17 through 20, and I'm just gonna pull out some different things. Okay. Everybody good? Everyone got your iPad, your Bible, and your phone? You can follow along on the big screen if you don't have those. Okay. Numbers 13, 17 through 20. Moses gave the men, these are spies he sent in there, instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. "Go north through the Negev into the hill country, see what the land is like, and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or is it poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see. Everyone say, you see. Everyone say, you see. Moses sent his spies on a vision trip. He sent them to get a vision of the land they were going to. I want you to write this down. Before people can succeed with a goal, they must see the goal. Before people can succeed with a goal, they must see the goal. And we can only accomplish the impossible if we first see it in our minds. It's just kind of like when you go to a car dealership and they want you to sit in that car. They want you to feel it. They want you to smell the leather. They want you to hear the sound system, right? They want you to experience it, right? They want you to see that vision because that's what's going to cause you to pull the trigger and take action. Amen? Next, Numbers 13, 21 through 23. Let's continue to read here. Okay, let's see. Yes, so they went up and explored the land from the wilderness, the land of Zin as far as Rehob near Lebo Hamath. I hope I'm saying that right. Going north, they passed through the Negev and arrived at Hebron through all that. Okay, next verse. When they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole, right? It's massive. So everyone get the picture there? It's the biggest grapes you've ever seen in the world. And it says here, they also brought back samples of the pomegranates and figs, okay? So they bring this back to Moses, right? And he's going to ask them here in just a second. You're going to see in verse 27 what their thoughts are and things. And we're going to notice that two of the spies that come back is Joshua and Caleb, right? They're going to look at this future. They're going to see these grapes. They're going to see this land. And they're going to look at it with the eyes of faith. Everyone say faith. Then the other 10, they're going to look at their future. And think about this. Think of all the great stuff they just saw God do in their life. They just got brought out of Egypt. They saw all these plagues. They walked through the Red Sea. But still, they're going to look at their future saying, I don't know if God can do that. Isn't that amazing? They looked at the future with the eyes of fear. So for you and I, as we look at 2025, the vision that God's given us, your perspective is powerful. If you're looking at it with the eyes of faith, or if you're looking at it with the eyes of fear, your perspective can actually limit God. Did you realize that? It says that in Psalms, that these people actually limited an all-powerful God because of their unbelief. So I'm encouraging you today. A lot of us, we get kind of in this trap when somebody says something, man, I feel like God's going to do something great in your life. And we just, not this. No, it's not going to happen. I believe for that for 2 years, it's not going to happen. You know, man, this could be the year you're going to get your healing. I really feel like something great's going to happen. It just doesn't happen for me. You see how that works? That's that perspective of unbelief, the perspective of fear. I could never do that. I could never start that business. I could never step out and do that venture that God asked me to do. That's putting on the glasses of fear. And guess what? It's going to stop us, right? When you put on the glasses of fear, and I had some silly glasses I was going to put on, but I just couldn't take myself seriously, so I left those at home. When you put on the glasses of fear, number one, the bad gets magnified. Everyone say magnified. When you look at your vision through the glasses of fear, this is a good way to know if you're looking through fear or faith. The bad gets magnified. Look at Numbers 13, 27 through 28. They gave Moses the account. We went into this land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit, this big cluster of grapes. But the people who live there, everyone say, but. See how they did that? Man, it looks great, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. Those guys were giants, okay? We saw that, but what I want you to focus on is that word, but. I encourage you, you need to start looking at what you have left, not at what you've lost. You know, too many of us, we get just, I feel like I said, since COVID, it's just like negativity has just become a big thing. Everyone's just focusing on the negative. But if you and I want to put on the glasses of faith and really fulfill all God's called us to do, we have to get rid of just focusing on the bad, focusing on the evil, the negative. You know, man, there's people at church, you know, it's like, man, is it a beautiful day outside? You'll hear them, but it's cold. Well, hey, we can see the sun today, but there's a wind chill of such and such. You know what I'm saying? So that's a good indication that for their future, right, they got the eyes of fear. Number two. How do you know you got those glasses, fear glasses on? I'm easily distracted by what others are doing. I'm easily distracted by what others are doing. You know what I'm talking about? I was reading a book about psychology last week, and they said subconsciously most people look at their relationships competitively, right? And even though you may like it, their vacation on Instagram, you're thinking to yourself, man, how in the world? Why in the world did God? How could God do that for them? I know what they, do you know what I'm saying? But I'm easy to, when I have the glasses of fear on, I'm easily distracted by what other people are doing. I get distracted by my neighbors. I get distracted by my family. I get caught up with politics. I get caught up with government, Wall Street. Look what these guys, these 10 spies did here. Numbers 13, verse 29. But the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, they all live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea. You see what's happening? They have a fear mentality, right? They're looking at their future. And guess what? They're looking at what everybody else is doing. You know, it's amazing, too. The thing we got to watch for this is there's a scarcity mentality. A lot of times, what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes when we see other people doing well, we think that that's somehow a loss for us. If someone else is winning, that we're losing. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's not what God intended. You know, when other people do well, we should rejoice with them and say, God's going to do that for me. God's going to do that for me. God's got something better in store for my future. Amen. But when you have the glasses of fear on, you're easily distracted by social media, all this other stuff you get involved in. Instead of talking about the ideas and the dreams God has given you, you're talking about what everybody else is doing. Number three, the good is minimized. Everyone say minimized. When you and I have fear glasses on, we underestimate the talents and gifts that God has given us. We forget about the blessings. We forget about all the gifts and those talents and those things that God's given us because we're looking through the eyes of fear. Look at Numbers 13, verse 31. Look what they said. The men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. We can't. Everyone say, we can't. You realize they just took out one of the strongest armies in the world, Egypt? They just did that. But yet, they're looking through these glasses of fear. They're minimizing the good. They're underestimating the talents and gifts that God has given them. And they're just wallowing in their fear. Looking through eyes of fear causes us to bury our talents. It causes us to shrink back from opportunities. I've heard Dad say this before. Whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. People don't understand that fear, it limits you. You know, we laugh about it. I'm one of them. Man, I worry all the time. I worry all the time. Man, I'm afraid of that. I hope that doesn't happen. But you know what? It does limit you. Job 3, verse 25. How many reading Job in your chronological Bible, right? He said, what I fear came upon me. Fear is no joke. It's a prophecy. Look here, Numbers 13, verse 32 through 33 in the NIV says, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw of great size, we saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, those giants. And guess what? We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And because we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, we looked the same to them. It says there, that's what they thought too. Do you see that? Their fear was a prophecy. The way that they saw themselves, the way that they saw their vision, their future, is the same way that it turned out. So number three, when you and I put on fear glasses, the good is minimized. Number four, I make myself and others miserable. Don't look at anyone right now. I infect others with my negativity. You ever be around those people that complain all the time? I mean, it doesn't matter what you say good. It's coming down the way. They're just negative. They're going to give a negative comment regarding it. Fear is contagious. It infects other people. It says here in Numbers 13:32, and they spread among themselves a bad report about the land they had explored. Numbers 14, verses 1 through 2 says, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Isn't that amazing? Those 10 spies came back, and I've heard that it was 1 million people, the Israelites. And it spread the whole way through the camp. They made themselves and others miserable when we put on the glasses of faith. Look at this verse, Hebrews 3, verse 19 in the NIV. It says here, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Isn't that sad? They weren't able to enter the promised land because they looked at their future with fear. So real quickly, as we close and the team is coming out right now, I want to give you the way to see through the eyes of faith. Sound good? Okay, I'm not losing you, right? Just a couple more minutes. We're going to look at the two spies here that they were Caleb and Joshua, and they responded right. And guess what? Every one of those other spies, all those other people that responded with fear, guess what? They never made it to the promised land. They never saw it, but Caleb and Joshua did. Number one, how do you see through the eyes of faith? You have to act on it. Everyone say with vim and vigor, act on it. Numbers 13, verse 30 says, Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. You don't defeat fear by arguing with it. You defeat fear by taking action. And that's what Caleb did. I love it. I mean, Moses right there with all, he comes back with the report. We're ready. Let's go to war now. Let's take it. God promised it. He wanted to act on it. And that's how today you want to see your vision through eyes of faith. Begin to take action. If God has given you a vision for a business, if God has given you a vision to improve on a talent, start getting lessons. Get a coach. Go to school. Act on it today. Don't just sit around and think about it. That's fear. But act on it. Number two, how do you put on the eyeglasses of faith and look at your future? You got to agree with God's word. On the count of three, I want to hear you say agree with God's word. One, two, three. Agree with God's word. Numbers 14, verses 6 through 8 in the CEV, Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes in sorrow and said, we saw the land ourselves, and it's very good. If we obey the Lord, he will surely give us that land rich with milk and honey. I encourage you, find scriptures about your future and speak them over your life. On my bathroom mirror, I have scriptures all around. I can't brush my teeth without seeing God's word about my future. I can't comb my hair without seeing God's word about my future. Psalm 138, verse 8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. That's what you got to have in front of you. All over. Begin to agree with God's word. Did God say that you're sick, broken down, and defeated? Did he? He said you're more than a conqueror. He said you're healed. He said all your needs are provided. But too many of us, we speak our reality. We declare our reality. We become and get more faith and we become more confident in our reality than God's word. That's not how we see the future through faith. That's seeing the future through fear. All right? Number three, align yourself with God's purpose. Align yourself with God's purpose. Numbers 14, verse 9 says, don't rebel. We have no reason to be afraid of the people who live there. The Lord is on our side. You know, it's something great when you realize that God's on your side. You know, as you look at your vision, you look at your purpose that God has given you, right? You have to run it through the Bible, right? Sure, make sure that it lines up, and then you have to make sure that it's aligned with God's purpose, right? When God's on your side, you can't fail. And you see here, they realize that the Lord is on your side. They won't stand a chance against us. Stop listening to your feelings. Begin to believe that God is going to help you in 2025. John 11, verse 40 said, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? How badly do you want to see God's glory? How badly do you want to see God's vision come to pass for your life in 2025? Number four, you got to accept Jesus. That's the first and foremost thing. That's the most important thing. You might say, Daniel, I don't have a vision today. I don't know what my next step is. But John 3, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. You're never going to be able to see God's purpose, God's plan that he has for your life unless you have a relationship with him, unless you have a thriving, on fire relationship with him. So right now, if we could just bow our head and close our eyes. Maybe you come in here today and you say, Daniel, I don't have a vision. I've been drifting. You've been talking about this morning. I feel like I can never get any traction with anything I do. I have a desire to do one thing for a while, and then it just kind of burns out. Or maybe you think you come in here and you've gone through a real traumatic time in your life, and you've lost your vision. You've laid it down. I just encourage you today to give your life to the Lord. You see what Jesus said here. If you're born again, you can see. You can see. If you want to see that vision clearly, if you want to fulfill that vision clearly, you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you'd say, Daniel, I don't have a relationship, or I've let it grow cold, I'd like you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand high across this place. I want to pray that Jesus would come into your life today, give you a clear vision, that all distraction, all fog, everything that's been keeping you from seeing your future would be wiped away. Could you raise your hand high today? Hallelujah. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. All right. On the count of three, we're going to pray this prayer. It's found in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And Jesus is going to come into your heart. He's going to become your Lord and Savior, and you're going to have a new vision in Jesus' name. Let's say this together. Church, let's say it like we mean it and help them. Dear Heavenly Father. Okay, now church, we're going to say it like we mean it. All right, here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. Now, Jesus, I ask you, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And give me a clear vision for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a great big hand clap. Hallelujah.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.